Well, good morning, Bridgewater. How are we doing this morning? It is good to see you. If we haven't met yet, my name is Kevin Stiles. I get to be one of the pastors here. Truth is, if we have met, my name is still Kevin Stiles, and I get to be one of the pastors here, but this is what people say. So, but we would love to meet you if we haven't already. So good that you're here to see and hear and celebrate baptisms today. Three in the first service, two in the second, so five total people excited to see that. And what I love about baptisms certainly is that moment, but also the stories. And I don't know if you hear these stories, that maybe that story, even from either the young or the older, I won't say old, but older, is that maybe there's some similarities in your story. Maybe there's some things that you go, huh, that was my life too. And boy, maybe that causes you to think about your relationship with Jesus a little bit. And maybe even if you're going to take that next step or maybe think about doing that. And we would love to talk you through that. And I just wanted to love to celebrate that with them. So take some time to celebrate. If you see them out in the cafe, they'll be the ones that are soaking wet. It'll be easy to spot. But we'll do that. And speaking of celebration, another thing just to make you aware of is our year in review booklets are out the Welcome Center. Real cool. I wasn't here, so real cool to see and to learn some of the stats and the stories of what God did in and through you as a church, us as a church. Just want to let you know, Karis and I are pretty excited to jump in and hope that God continues to keep that spiritual momentum going and impacting people, not just in this building, in these walls, but also in our community. So that's what we'll pray for. And again, thanks for being here this morning. Last week, we started a series called Giants Must Fall, and we looked at the story of David and Goliath. Very familiar story to most of us, especially for me, and I just encourage the men to be here because this is our kind of story of what David and Goliath were able to do, but kind of set the stage for a series of the giants that we all get to face. Some of us have probably more than others, but the fact is we found out that our giants are big, and they can taunt a lot of things, but our God is bigger. We're supposed to refocus our perspective and our eyes and our trust in a very big God. And the crazy part is we're supposed to, I gave a kind of a little challenge out there to say, like, write down 21 things, three a day. 21 things, how you saw God faithful in your life. Somebody gave me a copy of their 21 things. How about that? That wasn't expected, but hey, props to you, Barb. Well, gold star for you to taking that step to do that. But hopefully you were able to review some of the things of God showing his faithfulness. And I'm confident that as we talked about it, that we all have a renewed trust in God. And we left here and none of us had to struggle at all facing the giants this week, right? Maybe not. Truth is, and the unfortunate truth is, that maybe the giants started taunting at you in the cafe on your way out. Or maybe they spoke a little bit louder as you drove home. They popped up Monday morning, just like they always do. The truth is we face giants all the time, so I'm super excited that we get to talk through this series. And the giant that we're going to focus on today is the giant called fear. And if you were paying attention, we actually sang about it a couple different times. It came up in the songs that we sang, and that's going to be a key. But the interesting part about fear is that it doesn't always show itself the way you would think. And of course, it is shaking in your boots kind of fear. That's certainly a kind of fear when you get terrified of something, and we looked at that right away in 1 Samuel, but it shows itself in another place. It gets a foothold in maybe some less obvious ways. Shows up in anxiety, or worry, stress, tension in the pit of your stomach, or thoughts that just keep playing over and over and racing in your head and you can't sleep at night. Fear comes from a variety of places and it affects us in a variety of ways. Fascinating thing about the Bible as well is that fear is kind of a big part of the story between us and God. One of the more repeated commandments in the Bible is fear not. Apparently somebody counted them up and there's 366 fear nots in the Bible. One for every day, including this year, the leap year. Now listen, I don't know what you want to do with that. I just think it's a cool stat. And that doesn't even include the ones that say, take heart, take courage, don't be afraid. And if you read those, or you read that stat and go, well, why are there so many commands like that in the Bible? And I think part of the answer has to be that God was going to know that we were going to struggle with the giant of fear. And he's trying to remind us over and over again to not fear. But we know the giant of fear taunts us. It loves to taunt us. It loves to take over our mind, consume our thoughts, and ultimately it diminishes God's glory in our life. And again, the giant of fear showed up right away in the passage we looked at last week. So we're going to jump there real quick in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Just look at two verses there to kind of remind us of what was happening. If you weren't here, it's 1 Samuel 17, and the army of Israel and the army of the Philistines are facing off. When out from among the Philistines comes Goliath, this time-tested champion and 9-foot-tall, over 9-foot-tall giant from Gath. And as he steps out from among them, he doesn't just step out, he actually starts taunting the army of Israel, and he throws out this 1v1 challenge that is a winner kind of take all kind of challenge. If you remember, we'll remind you in verse 11 what it says, that this is the response that Saul and the Israelites had. It says this, that when Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. Saul and the Israelites heard the taunts, and when they heard them, they were terrified. And this just wasn't just a one-time event. Now, this giant came out every day, morning and evening, twice a day, to make the same taunts and the same challenge for 40 separate days. And if you continue to reading through the story in 1 Samuel 17, verse 24, we get to this 40th day. And here comes the giant again. But the army comes out, all excited, chance of war, all those kind of things. Today's going to be the day. And then this happens in verse 24. As soon as the Israelite army saw him, they began to run away with fright. And fear's like that, right? Fear can come at us in the moment when we're unexpecting it. They went to battle like they normally would have, and out steps the giant. Fear. But then fear also can show up every day, day after day, month after month, year after year, and continue to taunt us. And I want you to notice out of this particular passage where fear crept in. Fear crept in with what they heard in what they saw. When they heard the giant, they were terrified. When they saw him, they retreated in fear. And the thing is, I think when it comes to fear, that fear has a soundtrack, doesn't it? And Mason, back in the back, is going to be my inspiration for this one. And I have some pair of headphones that is just going to be a representative of what fear might be like. This soundtrack that we continually listen to, and fear may continue to taunt us as we go through our day. Fear speaks when we can't conceal something. We can't shake something. Or maybe we just can't control something. Then fear speaks to us. God has forgotten you. No one cares about you. If the worst thing that could happen is going to happen. And fear taunts us. No one likes you. There's no hope. There's no good in your future. Why are you even trying? And the soundtrack can start first thing in the morning. Soundtrack can pop up in the middle of the night. So how do we defeat the soundtrack? How do we defeat fear, the giant of fear? Because the antidote to fear is faith. And a lot of times we think, no, it's being courageous, it's having courage, it's boldness. No, 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 it's actually having faith. Faith is what allows us to have courage. It allows us to be bold. We saw that in David's story last week, and this week we're going to jump to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 14. So if you want to flip over to there, to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 14. And in this story of Jesus' life, he just happens to have fed the 5,000 people miraculously. So Jesus is teaching people. They show up. He's teaching all day, and it's time to eat. And they got nothing. And so Jesus tells the disciples to go find stuff. And so they went on a hunt, and they came back with one lunch. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. You may have heard that story. He begins to break it, and the miraculous happens where all these people are fed, and there's even leftovers. My mom would be happy, because sometime that night, they're probably eating that. The fact is that the miraculous happened. And then this is what comes to it in verse 22. It says this, immediately after this, and after this event, Jesus insisted his disciples get back in the boat and they head across the other side of the lake. So while he sent the people home, after telling everyone goodbye, Jesus, he went up to the hills himself to pray. So Jesus puts his disciples in a boat, sends people away, and all is good, right? I mean, they had a great teaching from Jesus. They even had an opportunity to eat with Jesus, and now they're going home, and the disciples, for their case, now they're even getting to watch the sunset on the lake. What could be more important? What could be better, right? In fact, if you have a boat or a couple jet skis, I'm down. Let's go. Because that's how I would love to spend a day. I would love to spend the day eating with Jesus, hearing him teach, and then getting to be on the lake. So all is good. In that moment, when the miraculous had happened and they were all part of it, the disciples were part of this supernatural. I can't believe what just happened. They were on the inside scoop. Maybe some of the 5,000 people had no idea what happened. They just know they're handing out food. But the disciples, they knew. They were part of it. They only had one lunch. And Jesus did the miraculous. They're part of it. And just in that moment, out comes the giant in the form of an unexpected storm. And this is what it says in verse 26. It says this, verse 24. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble. And they're far away from the land, and a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting the heavy waves. The passage goes on to talk about how they were fighting these strong wind and waves till 3 a.m. They are exhausted. They got nothing left. And I can imagine, because we've been there, right? We've been where we're trying to make progress, or we know where we're going, we know where we're supposed to be heading, but man, something's fighting against us and no progress. We take one step forward and one step back, even though the great things happened. And we saw God do some things and we're still struggling, this cycle. And I imagine at the moment, the fear started kicking in and the soundtrack got a little bit louder. It says, I know, where's Jesus now? We got nothing left. He's abandoned us. The wind is too strong. We're going to die. And fear kicks up that way. And it spins out of control because it does that all the time. We get over on the top. In this case, they were in fear of their physical lives. It's at that moment, though, that Jesus comes walking on the water. Verse 26, when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified in fear, and they cried out, "It's a ghost!" Fear took over because of what they heard and the wind and the waves and the physical drain that they were experiencing. And then they saw something that should have been something that was positive, and they were terrified still. They saw something that was wrong. Fear took over. So how did they fix or defeat the giant of fear and stop the soundtrack? It says this in verse 27, but Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid. I am here. Take courage. I am here." Jesus reassures the disciples of his presence in the middle of the storm, even when the giant was shouting its loudest taunts. I wonder if you would just take a second with me and picture 6-year-old Kevin. I know we didn't know each other then, and that's okay. But you can picture 6-year-old Kevin going to the store with his mom. And maybe you have been in that scenario before where you were young and you were going to the store with your mom. If you had a mom like my mom, she did not take her time shopping. She was not a lady that kind of just wandered around the store, that kind of thing. No. She had a battle plan. She knew exactly what she was getting, why she was getting it, why we were there, what we were going to go, and what route we needed to take. And we got very specific instructions as kids as to where we could go, where we couldn't go, all of those kind of things. Eventually, we got too big to be contained in the cart. And so we got very specific instructions. 6-year-old Kevin got very specific instructions to keep a hand on the cart, because then I could keep up and I could stay focused. Because 6-year-old Kevin wasn't always that way. And it never would fail, of course, that we would be walking through the store doing as we were instructed. And we would stop, and probably one of my sisters or something, they were looking at something, trying something on, whatever, and something else would capture 6-year-old Kevin's attention. And it was over there, not over here. And so 6-year-old Kevin would certainly let go of the cart and walk away. But it wasn't too bad because I could still see near where I'm supposed to be. And then we go a few verses farther. Maybe we would duck into one of the closing clothes racks, come back out, no problem, can still hear, we're good. Take that, duck into one of those clothes racks, come out, and then there's the moment. Mom's not there. And we're still looking. And 6-year-old Kevin becomes overwhelmed and fear starts going. I'm lost. I'm a lost child. This is where I die. And he falls down crying. Why? Because I get out of sight of the one who cared for me. And then it happens. Then I hear. I'm over here, Kev. She was there the whole time. She knew where I was. I just couldn't see her. I was out of reach of her. I wasn't in her presence, even though I was in her presence. And what I saw her and heard her, fear melted away. Because what I see, what I hear about the presence of my mom. And I think every time we allow fear to consume us, we have an invitation from God. As I had an invitation, which I don't know that it was much of an invitation. It was more of a get over to the cart kind of thing. But an invitation to God to come back over and to refocus on his presence and to remember who he is. This story in Matthew chapter 14 continues as Peter asks the ridiculous, which is another reason we love Peter, because I wouldn't have thought of this. But as he sees Jesus, he turns in verse 28. Peter called him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come walking to you on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus says. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. Peter proves some things here. Peter proves that when we hear and see Jesus, we not only can make it through the storm, but we can see God do some crazy things through us and in us. And if you've heard this story, you know what happens next. Peter, the soundtrack comes out a little bit differently. Verse 30 says this, "But when Peter saw the wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink." Fear came over him. Suddenly Peter realizes, wait, I can't walk on water. Those are really big waves. This is probably where I die. And fear takes over. And then Jesus immediately, verse 31, Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have a little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt me?" You see, the antidote to fear is faith. And he's calling him to put their faith in him. And Jesus was right there in the middle of the storm. When our soundtrack fires up and we think that we're not good enough or the worst thing that's going to happen, we're going to fail again. We have to hear Jesus. We have to see Jesus to keep our hearts focused on him. I love what it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It kind of gives us a step in how we can gain that. And usually this passage is dealing more with salvation, but it says this: faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So when we hear and see God through his word, we're reminded that Jesus is enough. Reminded that he's bigger than our storms. He's bigger than our fears. And ultimately, that builds our faith. That's the faith in which the stone which shuts the mouth of the giant of fear that's already been beaten. The antidote to fear is faith. But let me just say this. Faith isn't just a magic wand we wave over our problems, that we wave over and instantly disappears. No. Faith relocates our fears into the hands of the one who already defeated it. It'd be nice if we could just say, "Oh, I trust you, Lord," and all of it goes, but it doesn't. It's there. It's not that we deny the danger of the presence of danger, but ultimately we declare the presence of God in it. Changes what we do. It refocuses on the truth. It reconnects us to the presence of God. I love how Louis Giglio talks in his statement. I'm going to jump way ahead, but I'll jump ahead here. Louis Giglio, in his statement, talks about worship, because this is why, we'll just say it this way, that faith is the antidote to fear, but also faith has a soundtrack. His faith can easily do it. And Louis says this about worship. He says, worship and worry cannot occupy the same space. They can't fill our mouths at the same time. One will always displace the other. We either speak doom and destruction, kicking into high gear our worry and fear, or we recount the size and the character of the Almighty. We release our outcomes to Him and center our thinking on the divine. See, we have the ability to determine where we look and who we listen to. Is it Kevin? I know. But the giant, the soundtrack is hard. I think we have to replace the soundtrack. Because it's going to say you're going to sink. It's going to say you're not enough. It's going to say the worst is going to happen. And we have to change it to Jesus is here with me. That He is bigger than the storm. He has a track record. He has been faithful before. He'll be faithful again. No matter what the circumstances is, the soundtrack to faith is worship. It just helps us refocus where it should be. But I know this. This giant of fear, he's relentless. But he's been defeated. And fear's soundtrack is loud, but it can be replaced. And I just want to say, just real quick at the end, two things that you could do that maybe you've done in the past. Here's going to be the tricky part. Maybe you've done these in the past and you still find yourself struggling. I'm just going to tell you, there's some two really, maybe it almost sounds too simple, things that you can do to hear and see God. The first one is this. How can you see and hear from God? Well, you read and meditate on His word. And now you maybe ask, Kevin, come on. You said last week, trust God. And this week you're going to say, read your Bible? Yes. Again, it sounds churchy. It sounds too simple. But I know this personally, that those moments, those times when I was consistently, we'll say daily, in God's word, leaning on it, thinking about it, the giants, they were there, but they had a lot harder time breaking through. And again, I'm not saying the giants of fear are going to be gone, but I'm saying we can fight them by changing that soundtrack. And one of the ways to do that is to meditate and read on God's word. You're like, oh, that's a big book. Where do I start? Maybe start in Psalm chapter 23. And just let that play and repeat in your head all week. It talks about the fact that the circumstances aren't changing, but there is a good shepherd who cares for us, who feeds us, who helps us. Let that be on repeat, instead of the other things that can get out of the way. I think you could start in the Gospels, hear the stories of Jesus and who He is and what He's done. It gives us a great picture of who God was. You've got to see Him and see how He responded. So I don't know where you start or when you want to do that, but listen, let me challenge you to pick a time. For me, it's the morning. It's just the best time. I can set my schedule that way. It's a little easier. If I need to get up earlier, I need to get up earlier. I can do that. And I have a chair even that I sit in, a specific chair. And when it gets nice enough, I sit outside on the back porch. And it becomes a habit. Let me challenge you. Let it be a habit for you to spend time reading God's word and let that fill you who you are. And I would challenge you to do this. Maybe read with somebody else. And I'm not saying read out loud with somebody else, but have them read the same thing. I know, again, that every time I was meeting somebody there or had to read something, it kept me accountable to reading it because I knew we were going to talk about it. So pick a time, pick a place, and read, and even pick a partner. And the other thing is this. I think you can hear and see God through worship. I love that what we get to do on Sunday mornings. And I'm just going to throw this out to you. Make time in your schedule to be here on Sundays. And let me just throw this out to you as well, without stepping on too many toes. Maybe you have to leave a little earlier so you can get all four songs in. I'm just saying. For me, it takes a couple songs just to get focused. Don't tell Luke. But the fact is, to get our minds set, to get in there. And I think it's great that we do this. So make time to come here. But listen, if it's only Sunday for you, if Sunday's the only day you focus on God, and that's great, but boy, you're settling for something less. If you're just going to go out from here and be this great win, just like the disciples, they had this great win. They saw God do some crazy things, and then they found the storm, and they caved. Don't settle for that kind of schizophrenic faith where it's Sunday, great, and the rest of the week, whatever. Create a playlist. Bridgewater has a playlist. I don't know if you know that. I don't know if you stream music or you listen to music. I'm not telling you to change all the music you listen to, but maybe look at it. Maybe think about what messages are in there. I don't know. We're driving to the car, listening with my son Cohen. He's listening to some music. I'm like, wow, that's an interesting statement. He's like, what? I said, do you hear what they just said? I don't know. I just like the song. I know. It's got a cool beat to it. It's a cool song. But how about this message? And again, I'm not saying get rid of all of your music. I'm just saying, boy, where could it be in a playlist that it keeps in your head? I know for when the moments that I get overwhelmed, worship music comes. And it brings me into the presence of God. This worship playlist on Spotify, if you happen to stream this way, but there is all kinds of playlists out there. This is just some of the songs that we have on our rotation on Sundays. It'll even help you maybe sing a little louder on Sunday because you know it. I'm just saying this, that the invitation is for us to never take our eyes off Jesus. The antidote to the giant of fear is faith. And faith is what keeps your hand on the cart of God's word and keeps us in the presence of Jesus. So just make the steps. My guess is if it was too complicated, you wouldn't do it either. I wouldn't. It's too many steps. Read God's word and worship. Let's pray. God, I do thank you for today. I thank you that you lead us to, that your presence is always around us. I just pray that we would encounter you and remember that we're in your presence. There'll be moments when you hear, I'm right here, Kev. I'm right here. Always ready for us, always listening. Lord, help us through faith to keep our hand on the cart and to live in your presence so that when the giants come and when the soundtrack gets loud, that we can replace it with truth, that we can replace it with worship of who you are. The disciples, when they got back in the boat, they worshiped you and realized that you were the Son of God. Lord, help us to realize that every day. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.